gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good. I'm prepared. Why do you ask? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Monday, everybody. We have a big show. The Rude Pundit coming up in less than half an hour. Eric Bollard from Media Matters, co-host of Right Wing World next hour. And, oh, the founder of GodHatesShrimp.com in hour number three. Let's talk about abominations unto the Lord.
Uh-huh.
You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy Voice, Deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Or you could even email Rebecca
Taylor.
Mrs. Taylor, who just got married, Rebecca Baker, the artist formerly known as Rebecca Baker.
That's right.
Who is Mrs. Becky Taylor now.
Yes.
And you had a big weekend. You hung out with celebrities.
I did. I rubbed elbows or mingled or something.
Uh-huh.
Saturday night, I went to the WTF Festival with my husband, Mr. Taylor.
Yes.
And we saw Jenny Lewis.
Yes.
And she is fantastic. She's my favorite singer.
And she is? Oh, okay. Somebody the kids are listening to.
Rilo Kiley?
I never leave my house.
The lead singer of Rilo Kiley.
Oh, sure. Oh. Okay.
So after the show, I thought, oh, I'll say hi to Tim.
And Tim Robbins.
Yes, Tim Robbins. After the show, he was just hanging out.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, Tim, you know, blah, blah, I'm Rebecca from Stephanie Miller. And he said, where's Stephanie?
Oh.
And I said...
Yeah. And did you explain I never leave my house?
Right. I said, she goes to bed at 4:30 p.m.
That's... You are exaggerating. It's 6:30.
And you know what he said? He said, it's the weekend. And,
yes.
And I said, she goes to bed at that time on the weekend
Yes,
as well.
Grandma still goes to bed at that time.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But he misses you. He wants to see you.
Oh, I love him. Tell Tim that we'll see him soon. And thanks for rubbing our faces in your celebrity-studded weekend.
You're welcome.
Well, and your new marriage.
You could have celebrity-studded weekends if you ever got out of the house.
I don't leave my house.
I know.
Oh, you know what I did? I watched Grey Gardens.
Oh, I love that movie.
I am Grey Gardens.
Yes, you are.
I'm a big Edie.
You're Big Edie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's not kidding. You totally are.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Mrs. Taylor. Thanks for coming in.
I was hanging out with Tim Robbins, and I just got married. Whatever, Rebecca.
All right. So, lots to get. Oh, by the way, I had a date with Wolf Blitzer Friday night.
You did?
Well, all right, he was filling in for Larry King.
Oh.
Can I just say, Jim Ward, of course, will be along next hour. He gets to sleep in these days. God bless him.
How can I negotiate that?
Who negotiated this new start time? I don't understand. Anyway, but I realize that my life has become an entire, just a Jim Ward sketch.
Mm-hmm.
Because I couldn't, even when they called me to say, can you do Larry King tonight? Wolf is pulling in. I'm like, oh, no, I can't.
Oh.
I can't get through that because all I'm going to picture is Jim Ward saying, you know.
Hard cheese and drywall.
I sound constipated because my diet consists entirely of hard cheese and drywall. Yeah, and then the bowel movement since the Johnson administration. Andrew Johnson, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah,
exactly. But I did get through it without giggling.
Good.
Mm-hmm. During the host always talks to you before the, before you go on, just to make sure that you can hear each other.
Sure, I'll take your word for it.
And I did giggle, because I had to get through it. At least I got through it off air first. Stephanie, it's Wolf. I was like,
oh.
I'm from Buffalo, you know. I'm like, yes, I know, Wolf. I'm from Lockport. Your father was a good man. I said, oh, thank you, Wolf. That was very sweet.
That is sweet.
We had a little magical bonding moment. All right.
I don't think Wolf is old enough to have voted for your father, though.
I don't know. I didn't ask him that.
Okay.
All right. So, Mama, we'll be on the Larry King Live with the Larry King tonight.
Good.
We will be talking about the, oh, dear God, the Caribou Barbie book.
I live in hell!
God damn you, John McCain, for foisting this on me. And this is in the entire country. Oh, so I do plan to, the entire thing, to say anything Larry asked me, I will say it's inappropriate. And then I have been practicing all weekend my ripping my microphone off and storming off.
You know what you need to do? You need to set a fan up right near you so it can blow your shirt open.
Larry, that's inappropriate. Who put the fan here? And then,
Yeah.
I need a little pub.
That's right.
Just saying, can I have my porn music, please? By the way, in case you hadn't heard the breaking news on the Carrie Prejean.
Mm-hmm.
You know the sex tape she said was the biggest mistake of her life?
Yes.
Turns out there was about 40 of those.
40 big mistakes of her life.
Uh-huh. if you're counting. Radar Online, the investigation uncovered there are 7 more biggest mistakes of her life, all of them solo performances. There are 30 photos of Carrie, some topless, some showing everything.
Boobage.
Every area.
Oh, even down there?
Oh, every area. Oh. All the areas. Most,
any other area.
Oh, yeah, that area. And most taken by Carrie using her reflection in a mirror. Mm, someone likes themselves very much, don't they? Mm. Carrie.
Oh.
You know, that's why I don't, I don't know if you know this about me, but I don't masturbate. I don't find myself attractive.
Okay, the world really need to know that, Stephanie?
But Carrie apparently does.
Oh.
She is way into herself. Carrie can be heard moaning on a few of the tapes. You know,
oh,
she's a religious woman in a religious way.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh Jesus.
Oh.
Oh, oh, Lord.
No.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yes. Oh. Yes. 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 Vivid Entertainment already has the first tape and is attempting to negotiate its release with Carrie, according to TMZ. That would be a good time to pray. Oh, God.
Wait a minute. They have to negotiate with Carrie on the release?
Apparently.
Since when has that happened?
Oh, it's hilarious. Another hilarious...
Wheel of right-wing hypocrites!
Maybe she'll talk again about how immoral the gays are and, have no family values.
Whatever.
That whole thing. Okay. In a completely unrelated story, Julie has sent us some Beaver Stack. Not since the Carrie Prejean Larry King interview have we seen a headline. Beaver pees on TV host's face. Did you see this?
I did. Mm. It's kind of gross.
Yeah, is this the early show?
I believe so. Yes, on CBS.
With those clumsy slapstick tails and goofy faces, Beaver get their fair share of bullying in the animal kingdom. Boy, howdy, I know it. No surprise, and they sometimes hit back. This wood nibbler sent out a message to would-be browbeaters on live TV by spraying an early show host with a brisk blast of beaver pee. Barry, I guess it's Barry Beaver, began urinating on the table during an appearance on CBS.
That's why I don't go near Beaver.
At least he didn't rip his microphone off and storm off. His handler, I'd say he's the professional beaver handler.
I've heard those exist.
Oh. Jim will be chagrined to know that that might have been an option he could have pursued professionally. His handler did not look disturbed and even boldly claimed, "This is a beautiful thing," telling the anchors the animal was just marking its territory. Correspondent Debbie Turner Bell obviously didn't quite see the beauty and went to get something to clean it up. Cue our Barry to finish what he started. And there is she does look a little surprised.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Dumb de los yikes. Okay. All right, so tune in tonight. What is it, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m.
Yes.
Eastern for Mama on the Larry King Live.
What did you talk to Wolf Blitzer about? What was this subject?
Caribou Barbie.
Again?
Ugh.
Wow.
Ugh.
All right.
You know, although before I went on, because, I come for the fluffy topics, apparently, but were talking before I went on about the, the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed trials and whatever, and I was champing at the bit to get in on that. But then we moved on to the fluff.
I bet you they had some right-wing wacko on there, just angry.
I can't remember who. But I actually mentioned to Wolf when he brought up my dad, as you know, he was a prosecutor at Nuremberg.
That's right.
And this was making my head explode.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, another...
Wheel of right-wing hypocrites!
You're going to have to fill in for Jim here, Chris, on, I guess, the quote.
Okay.
Guess who said... here's the clue. This was back in 1994.
Okay.
It would show our legal system... this is the 1993 World Trade Center bombers. It's about
that. Okay.
It would show that our legal system is the most mature legal system in the history of the world, that it works well, that it is the place to seek vindication if you feel your rights have been violated. Who said that?
Maureen McCormick.
No! Rudy Giuliani, when he was talking about what a Jim Dandy idea that was.
Wow. Yeah,
Who said in 1994... Mayor Rudolph Giuliani declared that the verdict demonstrates that New Yorkers won't meet violence with violence, but with a far greater weapon, the law. Who said that?
Eve Plum.
No, in a very, very clumsy Brady theme, may I just say. No, that was the New York Times quoting Rudy Giuliani.
Uh-oh.
Who said on March 1994. I think it shows you put terrorism on the one side, you put our legal system on the other, and our legal system comes out ahead. Who said that?
Susan Olson.
No. Rudy Giuliani. Said that.
Wow. Okay.
Now he seems to have a entirely different idea. Does you get the idea? It's just whatever the Obama administration does. They're just preemptively against it.
They're still the party
of no.
They have
no explanation except that, oh, that was different. George Bush was doing it then. I mean, whatever. You know what I mean? Whatever was a different instance.
They're the party of no.
Thank you. So Rudy Giuliani, he went on 3 separate TV talk shows yesterday to blast the Obama administration's decision to send Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and 4 other alleged plotters to Manhattan to face a trial in federal court.
Mm-hmm.
He said it's an unnecessary advantage to give to terrorists.
In what way?
Didn't really say.
Okay.
I think it goes without saying that the president is a terrorist lover.
Yeah. Does Rudy Giuliani not have faith in our legal system?
Yeah. First of all, they were talking about, I think they even, you know, they were saying, oh, this should be like war crimes, blah, blah, blah. Well, again, my dad is a prosecutor in Nuremberg. Guess where they got tried? In Germany.
Yeah.
At the site of what?
Yeah, of what happened.
So I don't understand what, other than just to be against it politically, do you know how many terrorists we've tried and convicted?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would rather catch them and have them in prison or executed than on the loose.
Right.
Like the Bush administration managed to accomplish with Osama bin Laden and what's his name? Mullah Omar. Giuliani went on to say, what the Obama administration is telling us loud and clear, that in both substance and reality, the war on terror, from their point of view, is over. We're no longer going to treat these people as if this was an act of war. Well, first of all, this wasn't a war, obviously. This wasn't like in Germany. This
right.
wasn't the German army. This is in that sense of the word, in a strict legal sense, this isn't a war. These aren't war criminals. They're criminals.
Right. And Congress never declared war.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they declared war against Germany.
Yeah.
Congress has never declared war in this situation.
I'd rather do the most efficient thing to convict them, which is what the Obama administration
right.
is doing. It's like, what, they're so hung up on words over there. Like, you got to call Mountain Hood terrorism. It's like, this was the day it happened, when no one even knew all the factors and which factor
right.
was more prevalent than another factor.
When it was simply a workplace shooting.
It literally is like they're having a war of words. Like, you have to call them war criminals, and you have to call it this. And anyway.
I'm just glad the Obama administration is getting stuff done rather than arguing over semantics.
Thank you. White House advisor David Axelrod said Giuliani's criticism was odd, given his praise for the prosecution of 9/11. You remember Zacharias Massawi?
Yep.
Who was sentenced to life in prison by a civilian federal court in Virginia. Mayor Giuliani testified in that case, and he heralded the outcome, so we may have changed his view, but we haven't changed ours, said Axelrod. Giuliani had indicated the Virginia trial was the best option at the time because the Bush administration lacked the choice to put Massawi before a military commission, though he didn't explain why. Because I think it goes without saying that if Bush did it, it was okay, and you'll find a way to justify it.
Yeah.
Even though there is no legal basis for it, but now that Obama's doing it, it's despicable. Well, it's simply...
You're despicable.
All right. 20 minutes after the hour, back with more of our thoughts and yours. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
In fact, there's the distinct possibility that by the end of the day, we'll all be going to hell.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Chris, who said conservatives are scared of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, liberals are not? Who said that?
Ann B. Davis.
No. The Rude Pundit, who is coming up in just a couple of minutes. Ain't that the truth? Jody in Pittsburgh, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the World Trade Center. Hello, Jody.
Hi, Stephanie. I just wanted to call and ask a question about this. When we tried USEF, the first
the 93 bomber.
Yeah, the 93 bomber. Hey, everybody was getting their time in court, like the families were getting their justice. Why isn't that the same today? I mean, are we a different country?
I know. No, I know.
We are still the United States of America.
Yeah, right, Jody. These are the pro-America people that don't believe in the American system of justice?
Exactly. I mean, Are they just completely terrified of what's going to come out during the trial of how we have handled prisoners?
Well, I mean, look, Jody, this is, you know, as I've said before, you know, another monumental mess the Bush administration has left the Obama administration. And I think that, you know, fair-minded people would go, what would you do with this complete legal mess that's been created? You know, they're obviously trying the people that they can. They feel they can convict. There's a whole bunch of other people, by the way, Jody, that they've got to figure out what to do with.
Yeah, I mean,
some of which were like cab drivers.
That Illinois prison that's not being used. And since when has our, you know, like, I don't know of anybody that's ever escaped from maximum security prison.
Yeah, exactly. We have, I mean, it's such like blatant political posturing. We have so many terrorists in prison in the United States. Like, well, what, this has never been done before? Gee,
we've done it before. How many times before?
Yeah,
you know,
bad guys are going to come here and be put in jail. Oh, no.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Jody. Oh, God, what?
CNN was running a story this morning about a town in downstate Illinois that would absolutely love to house terrorists because it means jobs for their community.
You.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm not, as you know, an infrastructure expert, but as I'm understand it, Chris, a jail is made to keep the people in there.
Yes,
it's made in a sort of a sturdy fashion.
Yes, it is.
In a way in which the people that are in there, it's designed for them not to get
out.
Okay, the president announcing the decision.
I'm absolutely convinced that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed will be subject to the most exacting demands of justice. The American people insist on it.
Yeah, I don't. This is just like I say. All you, I did it already once this morning, Chris. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is go back and look at their quotes.
Yeah.
You know, either when it was the Bush administration and Massawi, or you know, back when we convicted the 93 bomber. It is completely politics.
That's right.
Eric Holder, the Attorney General.
After 8 years of delay, those allegedly responsible for the attacks of September the 11th will finally face justice. They will be brought to New York, to answer for their alleged crimes in a courthouse just blocks away from where the Twin Towers once stood. I am confident in the ability of our courts to provide these defendants a fair trial, just as they have for over 200 years.
I was saying, Chris, my father was a prosecutor at Nuremberg.
Mm-hmm.
We tried the... Because the war crimes happened in
Germany.
Oh, that's right. Nuremberg is in Germany, and that's where the crimes happened. But in that case, it was an actual army. It was the German army, so that's why that would be war crimes,
right.
You see. And these,
we'd actually declared war on them.
Yes, these are terrorists. They are... okay. And it seems like all the terrorists we have successfully convicted has been in a court of law.
Yes.
You see, when we tried to go after them, like in a war, like mm-hmm. Afghanistan, they got away.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, better. 28 minutes after the hour, Rude Pundit is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What's up, you tall drink of bitch? You're amazing. No, seriously, amazing.
Well, thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 33 minutes after the hour. The Dow is up 52 points. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Monday morning.
Sleep off the Rude Pundit.
Yes, sir.
Pundit.
That time when I come to Papa. Good morning, Papa.
Good morning, Stephanie.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
But you summed it up. You summed it up beautifully, as you always do. Conservatives are scared of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Liberals are not.
You know, right now, it's every skinny jean wearing twink in Greenwich Village is more macho than Rudy Giuliani and the Republicans.
It's despicable. I'm scared. You're going to bring him here.
I just to bring up something you were talking about the location of the trial.
Yes.
Okay, the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution, and I don't know why this doesn't get brought up more. The Sixth Amendment says that the accused will get a trial in the state and district where the crime was committed, the district which will have been ascertained by law. So
yep.
It's like this isn't really even up for debate where the trial – I mean, they're not going to have the trial in Boise just because that keeps them farther away from, you know, the air
yep.
of
and, you
the
know,
World Trade Center.
And, you know, Rude, I lived in New York when 9/11 happened, and, you know, I obviously, like most people there, knew somebody who knew somebody that died there. I can't think of anything more fitting in a justice sense than to be tried right there.
Well, and they're not even responding to reality. They're responding to movies and TV shows. You know, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed isn't Magneto from the X-Men. he's gonna be chained up and wearing a diaper. This is
oh,
this
really?
Person.
I thought it was like a field trip. I thought we let him go during the trial. No.
Oh no. He'll just get to sit there and take notes and certainly respect the process. That's what we know will happen. That's what liberals are expecting. That's why we want this.
Right.
And you know, it's not Prison Break. It's not Face Off.
Yeah.
It's 100 people with guns pointed at him while he's in chains.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Rude, you were spammed by Eric Erickson of Red State, and I'm sorry about that. The headline was "Stop Obama from Importing Terrorists Stateside."
Yeah. It really seems like a negative kind of thing to do. Like you'd really want to heavily tariff that.
Yes. You, in your rude, inimitable rude style, you write, just to give you insight into a fairly well-regarded conservative mind, it's a stronger show of democracy to infinitely detain a man without charge. To charge him and try him is an action fit for a tyrant. It's not unlike saying that if Eric Erickson had a choice to a knot hole in a wooden bench or his wife, he'd decide to the knot hole because splinters and calluses be damned. It won't care if he loses his on. Which I think is a good way of summing it up. But that's what we were saying. I thought they were all about the convictions and the death penalty and all that.
Yeah, well, I guess they were when somebody else was president. Or no, I guess they weren't. I guess that's when they lost their taste for justice. I just, you know, if they don't want the rules that we have, then why don't they just have a constitutional convention, you know?
Yeah.
Let's change it. You don't like it? Let's change it. Let's put it to a vote. But
well, you know,
this is the rules of the game.
I mean, maybe I'm missing something here, Lee, you know, legally, but that's what Chris and I have been saying. First of all, there has been no declared war. This is not an army, so therefore, legally, no. These are not war criminals. These are terrorists.
I've said for a long time that all this, all that 9/11 was, and I don't mean to reduce 9/11, but it was a James Bond plot where James Bond didn't stop it. And in James Bond movies, when Spectre and Ernst Blofeld were going to do something to destroy, there's one where they're going to nuke Miami, okay? And the British don't send in the army; they send in James Bond to stop a crime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. My favorite part of this post is you say the microphones of right-wing radio hosts are cringing at the thought of the spit-soaking they're about to get. Rush Limbaugh has to put on his skinny underwear to irritate his and ass, so he gets extra cranky. Which, yeah, today you can almost—it's predictable, isn't it? What they're gonna say?
Oh, it's gonna be awful. I feel sorry for their producers sitting in the other room that are watching them, you know, go Carrie Prejean on the air.
Yeah. Surely I surely wipe off this microphone again.
I hope somebody's taping this.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So you go on that you are, as you know, a noted feminist, at least on this show. You have a post about what's with the new backlash against women.
It's really kind of odd. It's not odd. It's sort of expected that it always reaches a point where it seems like. After a few years, women's rights are progressing, and then it's time to push them back down. It's
yep.
time to make that glass ceiling a little bit higher, however you want to put it. And I actually blame people like Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann for the backlash against women. I mean, nobody would give a damn what Sarah Palin had to say if she looked like Kay Bailey Hutchison. And that's not a slam against Kay Bailey Hutchison, who's actually, you know, a fair, a, 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 disagree with her as we may, she is an accomplished woman that has done a great deal with her life. But if this is the image that women now have to look up to,
yeah,
it's really just giant.
Yeah, I think being dopey is the worst thing you can do for women's rights in general, because I mean, that's the thing. It's damn John McCain for foisting her on this country. I have to read, you know, about the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed thing. Noted, you know, legal expert Sarah Palin posts on Facebook. What? Who cares?
Who taught her to use Facebook?
Yes,
I know.
Good Lord, now we're subject to it.
Oh God, it's an atrocious decision. We need to hang them high. It's like, oh, shut up, you know.
You know what? They're going to get the death penalty.
I know. You're even less qualified to comment on this than you were to be president or vice president.
And she just keeps posting things on Facebook. She just, somebody needs to stop her. And the fact that she's does anybody else's Facebook updates get this kind of coverage? I would rather read somebody's tweets, you know?
Exactly.
And you could subscribe to Rude Pundit's tweets at Rude Pundit.
Yes, you can.
Now,
at the Twitter.
At the Twitter.
Rude, as you know, I'll be on the Larry King Live tonight, and I will be storming off if all goes as planned. The Carrie Prejean, you write about the Carrie Prejean Larry King thing. Hilarious. Was it the most hilarious television you've seen in quite some time?
Oh, yeah. And does she realize that this just keeps making her hotter and that she really just needs to give in to what's becoming her commodification, and that no amount of prayer is going to stop it at this point?
Yeah, she you heard the breaking news this morning, right, that, you know, the biggest mistake of her life? There's about 40 of those.
Yeah, and she's 20, which I think most of America, most of the American straight American men just let out a cheer. We will see them at some point. This is what we have to look forward to in our sad little lives.
Now, you also go on to write about, because we've been talking about this, the Fort Hood tragedy. It all becomes part of the same narrative on the right, doesn't it? That you know, now it's a war over words, like what you call it. You have to call it the day it happens. It's an act of terrorism. It's a, you know, the Islamic war against us, as I think Rudy Giuliani said yesterday. You know, and it does seem amazing, doesn't it, that they don't even want to understand. You talk about how understanding why he did it makes us stronger.
Right, because that way we can maybe, I don't know, stop it in the future. I know that's crazy bleeding heart talk, but to actually try to figure it out and prevent it, I don't get why. Well, first of all, it's a good thing that many people who worship Islam aren't white, because this makes it a lot easier for us to automatically label them as the enemy. And, you know, it's not like after Timothy McVeigh we said, oh, this is a Christian attack on the United States.
Yeah, you know, that was one of the things Rudy Giuliani, he tied in the, you know, Fort Hood tragedy, of course, with the 9/11 and all of this, and said, which I know it's odd that Rudy Giuliani mentioned 9/11. He hardly ever does, but... He said, oh, the president just doesn't get it, that we're, this is a, you know, Islamic war against us or something.
That helps.
Yeah. Well, if it was an Islamic war against us, we would be screwed. if this is just the beginnings, if these are the scouts coming out, testing our defenses before the rest of the people that worship Islam really kick the war into high gear, we're in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. Rude Pundit, it is rudepundit.blogspot.com.
I knew. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. And we enjoy you thoroughly every Monday.
Well, I enjoy my time with you.
Mm. Oh, right. Boy.
Not in a Carrie Prejean way, but, you know.
You should really check out the Facebook. The Facebook people have been, they're creating dates and sexual scenes. It's really kind of amazing.
Yuck.
And, yeah, like I said, it's creepy in that, boy, I can't wait to see Carrie Prejean diddling herself kind of way.
All right. We'll let you run along and find that. Goodbye, Lee Papa.
Goodbye.
There he goes, the Rude Pundit.
You're going to get really slutty with them when you're in New York.
Oh, yes, I am.
Uh-huh.
43 minutes after the hour, we will be back with more on this, the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed trial, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That's like my favorite show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It
is the Stephanie Miller Show, 47 minutes after the hour. Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America coming up to co-host a rollicking right-wing world with me just after the top of the hour.
Yes, and Jim joined us just after
Jim
the top
Ward
of the hour.
Jim Ward will be here.
Yes.
It's fancy new start time. All right. Why can't I start later? All right. Can I make Rebecca do the first hour or something?
It'll be all Ross Perot all the time.
Mama needs to snooze. And would that, and how entertaining would that be? Okay. So, obviously, the right wing's head has exploded.
Yes.
Over the news that apparently are going to try and convict the people that were behind 9/11. Unlike, I guess, the better result, which was letting them go, which is the Bush administration did with Osama bin Laden and Mullah Omar, who are still among the missing.
Yeah.
Or among the dead, if Jim were here. Let me just fill in for him for a minute. All right, Eric Holder on Friday.
I'm quite confident that we're going to be successful in the prosecution efforts.
Yeah, I mean, it really is amazing. The people that really know nothing, knowing they could be released on technicalities or something, or it could, you know.
You know what? They wouldn't bring these criminals to American soil if they knew they couldn't get a conviction.
Yeah. Do you think?
Duh.
Yeah. Noted legal expert Sarah Palin.
What?
Why must I be subjected to this? The U.S. justice system apparently isn't good enough for Caribou Barbie, who, by the way, just as a point of order, believes the White House has a Department of Law. Remember that?
No, oh, that's right.
I don't even remember what that was in regards to.
I don't remember either. Why do you keep reminding me of this crap? Oh, I thought I'd shove that into a dark recess of my brain.
Yeah, I don't even remember what it was regarding. It was one of her many word salad stumbles during the campaign. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you gotta get up in there. That's what a vice president does, and, you know, gets in there in the laws and the things. And you know, there's a White House Department of Law that decides that sort of thing and such.
In what respect, Charlie?
Okay, just FYI, there is no Department of Law at the White House. There is a Justice Department.
Right, which is a part of the executive branch.
And also, FYI, vice presidents are not involved in making laws, you dope.
They only break a tie in case there's a tie in the Senate.
So now here's the part where I must go on to say what she thinks about...
Oh, no.
Based on that vast pool of legal knowledge, she went on the Facebook, you know, where all the top legal minds in the world go. Okay.
You should see some of the status updates of my friends. Fine legal minds, they are not.
She posted a message calling the Obama administration's decision atrocious. Horrible decision. Absolutely horrible. The trial will afford Mohammed the opportunity to grandstand and make use of his time in front of the world media to rally his disgusting terrorist cohorts. Oh, that sounds like your vice presidential campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it? That sounds like you could absolutely be talking about her vice presidential run. There he is, the president palling around with terrorists and such. Okay, she went on to say, if we are stuck with this terrible Obama administration decision, I, like most Americans, hope Mohammed and his co-conspirators are convicted. Hang him high! All right, Clint Eastwood.
We don't hang people in America anymore.
Well, she just wanted to sound, you know.
Sound tough?
Yeah, frontiersy womany.
Oh.
Frontiersy.
Yeah.
You know, old westy.
Yeah, because...
You know, in that smoke 'em out, dead or alive kind of way. You betcha. Yeah. Okay. Maybe she would like us to bring back hanging so that we can...
I don't care. Mm. Dead or alive. Mm. Either way.
Yeah. That's right. You betcha, just like the Sheriff George Bush said.
Yeah,
get her alive. Hang on high.
They did so much shooting of wolves from helicopters in the Old West.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some more fun facts for Caribou Barbie. The U.S. has already successfully prosecuted 145 terrorism cases in federal court, including the shoe bomber Richard Reed and Zacharias Moussaoui.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe I went on to do all these quotes earlier. Rudy Giuliani, big fan. Big fan of the prosecutions of the 1993 World Trade Center bombers. Interesting. Just on record time after time is saying that was just a Jim Dandy decision there. Oh, dear God. All right. Eric Holder, Attorney General.
I would not have authorized the bringing of these prosecutions unless I thought that the outcome, we would ultimately be successful. I will say that I have access to information that has not been publicly released that gives me great confidence that we will be successful in the prosecution of these cases in federal court.
That's what you just said.
I know. I know. I think I got that idea from that quote, actually. So I stepped on his...
Thank you.
I apologize.
All right. Eric Holder by himself this time.
I think it's going to be difficult to close the facility by January the 22nd. And one of the things that I think is most problematic in that regard is trying to relocate the people who are going to be approved for transfer, finding places where they can be safely placed, both for the nation that will host them and for the Americans, for American citizens. I'm not sure we're going to be able to complete that process by January the 22nd, though we are constantly in the process of trying to do exactly that.
Yeah, and you know why? Because Republicans, like on every single issue today, are playing politics.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we can't possibly have them here in the United States. Like, they're coming as guests. Like, we're bringing them to Disney World, you know? We have lots of terrorists in prison in the United States. As our caller said earlier, no one has ever escaped from a Supermax prison here.
We're not taking them to eat at the Hard Rock Cafe in Times Square.
You know, Senator Mitch McChinless, he betrayed this was all about politics, I think, inadvertently this weekend. He said moving prisoners to Illinois could be a huge issue in that state, particularly in the Senate race, meaning this is all about politics. Yeah. This is not about what's best for America and how to, get rid of this awful symbol, Gitmo, that has hurt us around the world. And also, we've got to resolve this stuff. You can't keep people in prison forever.
Right.
I mean, you've got to either convict them or... it just seems to me they're just betraying themselves every day. And, you know, the other, you know who's helping them as usual? Weenie Democrats. Weenies.
Blue Dogs.
Who was it? Was it Harry Reid? But, we're not going to let them go in the United States. No.
No, we're not going to let them go.
There's no point in the chain of custody where we let them go.
Harry Reid's smarter than that.
But that's the problem, is Democrats get scared. It's like, they're going to say we're weak on terror. So then, you know, so obviously back in the original debate about Gitmo, some Democrats stood up and went, we can't have them here. Like they're going to sleep on your futon. We're not inviting. Stephanie in Madison, my namesake sister. Hi, Steph.
Hey, guys. I heard David Brooks this weekend, and just, you know, whenever the right gets all cuffed up and all, you know, oh, my God, it always seems like it's a good thing for America. So, yay. Yay, the trials are in New York.
Who always kills me, Steph, is the quote-unquote liberal media. It's like, how do you let Rudy Giuliani get away with this when you're hearing better journalism on the Stephanie Miller newscast than you do on the Sunday show? Something is wrong with America.
Yeah,
why don't they do Guess the Quote with him? Really? Well, how come you said this and this and this back about the 93? Why was that a good idea?
Yeah, it's a joke. It's, you know, they dig themselves in a hole.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Steph. All right. Listen, I would be happy to have Guess the Quote thieved from me. I will loan you Jim Ward if you need be. But what somebody on the Sunday shows can't ask him, well, that's a complete contradiction of what you said in 93 and then when Bush was president and tried Moussaoui. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so blatantly political. Huh. All right, Eric Holder again.
I've only been Attorney General for 8 or 9 months, and I think this is about the toughest decision that I've had to make as Attorney General.
Yeah, it's a pretty tough decision, but I think he's doing a great job.
Yes, indeed. Michael Mukasey, Bush Attorney General.
I can't see anything good coming out of this. I certainly can't see anything good coming out of it very quickly.
Really? Like a conviction?
And I think it would have been far preferable to have tried these cases in the venue that Congress created for trying them and where they were about to be tried.
Listen, I know we have fancy lawyers listening. Someone explain to me. Seriously, how can they claim these should be war crimes trials when this was not an army and there was no declared war? I'm not even getting the basic argument.
Shano, who is by trade a lawyer.
Yes, and a montage maker.
Yes, he thinks that they should be tried in military tribunals. But he is trusting Obama.
Be mad enough to call me now, Shano.
I've already sent the request to him to call in.
57 minutes after the hour. Right back with Right Wing World as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. The Dow is, it's up 120 points.
Holy crap.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice Deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. By the way, where's my butter commercial music? We mentioned last week and the blogosphere exploded that the show is going bi. We've been bi-curious for some time.
Yeah.
Hello, the Stephanie Miller Show is going up by coastal.
You need to put your headphones on.
By coastal.
They're on. The jack is screwed up.
Uh-oh.
Oh, pardon me. Yes, we will be going. Mama will be doing the show from New York. Mooks and Rebecca remained here in Los Angeles starting November 30th, and I'll be going back and forth. Dick in Raleigh with a question for Mama. Hi, Steph. When you go to New York, will you be bringing your box, or will you get a new one? No, Dick, the same old box.
Yeah.
Different city, same old box. That'll be the title of my autobiography. Same old musty box. Be dragging that with me to New York.
So if they're going to be dragging Khalid Sheikh Mohammed through New York, I hope they don't send him through the police basement because it could be a Jack Ruby incident. I think they should send a Ron Jeremy in a Bernoose. So, you know, he could
Jim already had
off the bullets with a Chavance, you know, maybe. But
Jim dropped a conspiracy sausage before he even got in here. Because why the right doesn't want...
Of course don't want him talking because he's going to talk about how close the Bin Ladens were with the Bush family right up to 9/11. Sybelle Edmonds talks about this, how they were working with Osama bin Laden to get the Uyghurs to destabilize the Chinese government. Denny Hastert had to register as an agent of the Turkish government because they were dealing with this pipeline issue through South Asia.
Yeah.
But they were tight with the bin Ladens right up to the middle.
I didn't know the fun fact that you dropped, that George Bush Sr.? Was having breakfast?
Yes, you knew that.
I don't think I knew that. The morning of 9/11?
You forgot.
That was in Fahrenheit 9/11,
yes.
Wasn't it?
No, I think I forgot that.
You forgot lots of stuff.
I did.
Listen, I even knew that.
Listen, those brain cells that had that information were killed off by Chardonnay a long time ago. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world. And my co-pilot, Aaron Bullard, senior fellow, you know, from the Center of Media Matters for America. Hello, Eric.
How's it going?
Good. You have a great piece this week on how, you know, this New York 23 race has proven what you've been saying for a long time over at Media Matters, that Fox News, et cetera, they have just become, they're just another wing of the Republican Party, essentially.
Well, they've replaced the Republican Party. I mean, that's where all the strategy and tactics and things are planned, and the RNC sort of plays catch up. The Hoffman, which I guess he's now unconceding today.
Oh God, yeah, I heard.
Yeah, he's gonna recount the ballot.
Oh, that's great.
And suddenly conservatives want counting to never end. Maybe they'll go to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, they make all the way to the Supreme Court on that.
But of course, the Supreme Court said that the Gore ruling was only for Gore Bush and could be never read again out loud. So Hoffman's going to have to come up with a new legal ruling. But you know, this whole thing, it's what we're setting up is sort of this Republican media civil war for 2012. It's not a Republican civil war, sort of the far right wing versus the mainstream. Traditional Republicans, it's the far right wing with the press. You know, they've got Fox News, they've got
Fox Radio.
They're going to have their own candidate. There's going to be a right wing media candidate.
That's what you say. We're entering a sort of Fox News era where media outlets, where alleged news organizations essentially co-sponsor political campaigns.
Yeah.
I mean, they basically underwrote the Doug Hoffman campaign. Hannity had him on all the time. Glenn Beck had him on his radio show and TV. You know, they got that whole bandwagon rolling. So they're going to be in the business of picking candidates, and there's absolutely going to be a Fox News candidate
in the
2012 primary.
The good news, Eric, is if it ends the same way every time, then good. If they keep picking a losing candidate every time, then I like this. This is a good...
I think there's going to be a showdown between Hoffman and the Supreme Court, and Hoffman's not going to blink.
Ah!
But it's very interesting that we've got a so-called news organization that's now sees itself as a kingmaker, and there's no doubt that they're going in on all in on Sarah Palin. So good luck to the other Republican primary candidates in 2012 trying to battle Fox News.
Oh, all right. Eric, as you can imagine, right-wing world will consist of entirely of right-wingers frothing over the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed trial. Charles Krauthammer.
This is all show, and it's going to be a show trial which the terrorist will conduct against us. A, against the Bush administration and the methods.
Uh-huh.
And secondly, it's going to be the second half of the terror attack. The first half is you attack and you kill, you become notorious and you cause pain and sensation. And then a decade later, you appear at the scene of the crime and you have the biggest forum in the world to explain and proclaim the ideology behind it. This is a travesty.
Eric Bollert.
I've been befuddled by so many things this year, from the right wing reaction to the Chicago Olympics and kids singing a song in praise of Obama. So I'm just speechless. I don't know.
I know.
Go read Glenn Greenwald's piece over the weekend about the right wing reaction at Salon, the right wing reaction, and how it's a complete capitulation to terrorism. It's basically they're too scary. They win. We can't have a trial.
Right. Well, and Eric, I was saying, I've been mentioning, last hour that my dad was a prosecutor at Nuremberg, and maybe I'm missing entirely even the legal argument. It's like that was the German army.
Right.
Those were war crimes. And by the way, they were tried at the scene of the crime in Germany. Go ahead.
It's just amazing. I mean, the way that Krauthammer describes this, so he has no faith whatsoever in the U.S. justice system.
Right.
He has no faith that a judge can control a trial. He has no faith in the jury system. He has no faith in anything. He thinks it's going to be like Abby Hoffman running around with hats on his head. I mean, have they not been watching, terror trials in this country for almost the last 8 years?
Well, I mean, it's so, and, once again, I guess they just don't care if their hypocrisy gets exposed. But, Rudy Giuliani, I mean, all for it when Bush tried Massawi.
That's right.
All for it after the 93, he's on record.
Right, but now he claims Massawi, there was no alternative. It had to be a trial, but with the Sheikh, there is an alternative. It's really just amazing. As someone tweeted over the weekend, conservatives now come out against open trials. I mean, it's really amazing. The whole idea of, the New York City can't handle a trial. I mean, everyone agrees this thing isn't going to happen until, 2015, which will be, at least, 14 years after the attack. It's just really amazing. I think an awful lot of it continues to be the right-wing media and Obama derangement syndrome. So whatever they do, they just all in against it.
Yes.
It's really amazing to watch.
Noted legal expert Bill O'Reilly, based on his, phone sex trial.
For the past 3 years, Mohammed has been imprisoned at Guantanamo Bay, where he should have been tried in front of a military tribunal. The man is a war criminal. He killed thousands of civilians. That's what war criminals do. It's hard to believe the Obama administration doesn't understand that.
It's because the president's too dopey, Eric. You understand.
Well, yeah, he's been sitting in Guantanamo for the entire, for how many years of the Bush administration. So, again, this is another episode that, most of it happened under the Bush administration, and now they're blaming Obama. But, again, a lot of it is just sort of a knee-jerk reaction to whatever the Obama administration does. The idea that, conservatives would go all in against open trials, if you had told me that, 6 or 8 months ago, I wouldn't have believed it. But like I said before, I wouldn't have believed a lot of things I've heard this year.
Here's another little tidbit from noted legal expert Bill O'Reilly that I think my dad, while a Republican, Eric, would have thrown a shoe at the television about why the Nazis weren't tried in New York. What?
President Obama should explain this thoroughly. Instead, the announcement is made while he's in Asia. Does that tell you something?
No.
Why didn't he wait until he got back?
No.
I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because this is indefensible.
Ah.
War criminals should be tried by military people. If you don't know about the trials at Nuremberg, look them up.
Oh, okay.
Hermann Göring was not taken to New York City and tried before a civilian jury because that would have been insane. just as this is.
Okay.
We were in Germany at the time.
Yes, and may I just say, my dad interrogated Goering as one of the prosecutors at the Nuremberg trial, and it's because his war crimes happened in Germany.
Exactly.
And the where the Nuremberg trials were.
Riley, of course, doesn't understand the symbolism of Nuremberg, where they shot parts of Triumph des Willens. In front of the... Oh, God.
Yeah.
What a moron.
Yeah, my father would have been like, "What? Why would I have brought Goering to New York, you moron?"
And also the point that Obama should have been home. Obama didn't make this announcement. Obama doesn't run the Justice Department.
Right.
If Obama had made this announcement, they would have accused him of overstepping the Justice Department.
Politicizing it. Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
So when he doesn't make the announcement, he gets criticized. It's all this just knee-jerk stuff. And I guess O'Reilly sees the Nuremberg trials as the ultimate show trial where Nazis were able to spread their propaganda and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, of course, the exact opposite happened. Everyone remembers the trial and how it was just a complete condemnation of the Nazis. It had nothing to do with them spreading their message or things like that. So, on both of those counts, it makes no sense. O'Reilly's at the center of it.
And Eric Carver, who is a legal expert in the sense that he's been able to keep his ass out of prison for some reason.
Why we're doing this is beyond me. And the President of the United States and his sanctimonious Attorney General, I think we will look back and say that they did this on a Friday afternoon because it was a cowardly act that was not in the interest of the United States.
All right, now.
Oh.
Getting nasty now.
Yeah, it really is.
These sort of... Holder and the president are a bunch of dimwits, read whatever you want into it. I mean, for Karl Rove to talk about the president and attorney general in such dismissive language is pretty amazing.
Yeah, let me get this straight.
They
it's cowardly.
They have trouble to just camouflaging their just rampant hatred at this point.
Yeah. Eric, it's amazing to me. It's cowardly, apparently, to try and convict the people behind 9/11, but it was brave to let them go
just
to Tora Bora, like the Bush, like his buddy George Bush did.
Yeah, just let them sit there, bring no charges, present no evidence. That was the courageous thing to do.
Apparently.
And the cowardly thing to do is to show the world how these guys deserve the death penalty.
Oh, Eric, how about a little crazy for breakfast? Glenn Beck and O'Reilly on the health reform.
You know, this is the first time in history in our country where just to be a citizen, just to not go to jail,
right?
You have to buy something.
I think you should go to prison
for this cause.
Really?
I do.
Yeah.
All right.
That would be fun.
I'll help you.
The idea of Bill O'Reilly and Glenn Beck not having health coverage, that's comical.
I guess those
are exactly the type of people who are facing family bankruptcies because they don't have... They think it's a joke not to have health insurance. Maybe I won't have it.
Wouldn't have been quite so funny if he didn't have insurance during his botched ass surgery, would it?
Yeah. So, hey, did you know they're going on tour?
Who?
Yes, they are.
Beck and O'Reilly in January.
Yeah, they announced it.
Yep. Dear God. And guess who's going on O'Reilly tonight? Lou Dobbs.
Yes.
The pity party continues.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Ann Coulter on Hannity. Here we go.
Muslims really seem to have acclimated to is the whole victim culture. And on 9/11, they became the number one victims. Privileges and no one will act when this guy is going around saying that infidels need to be beheaded. And then after he shoots, apparently the suspect shoots 13 troops dead. What do we get from the chief of staff of the army that it would be a greater casualty if diversity is a casualty out of this? I mean, that really is stark, raving, mad, crazy. But that is what the victim culture leads to.
Ah,
wow.
You know that namby-pamby, military, politically correct victim culture.
Well, if anyone knows the victim culture, it's Ann Coulter.
Absolutely.
Holy smokes.
Yeah,
we talked about this last week, about how I think we're trying to paint the U.S. military as a sort of this bastion of liberalism, and that's what went wrong at Fort Hood. And I'm sure, that would come as a jarring shock to any Muslim American serving in the military who probably don't think it's a bastion of liberalism. But that's been the attack. It's interesting to watch the conservative media, really unload on the military, second-guessing, talking down, suggesting that they're all, these majors and generals or sergeants are all a bunch of wussy, PC police. It's a very interesting caricature of the military, not one that they were broadcasting during the invasion of Iraq. But again, for political reasons, that's what the conservative media has sort of been reduced to now.
Eric Bollert, senior fellow at Media Matters for America, you are a delight, sir.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, sir. Goodbye.
Charles Krauthammer agrees with me.
What?
Play that thing again. They're afraid of what he's going to say.
We will play it again, and we will get Jim Ward's expert legal analysis as we continue.
And speaking of lawyers,
yes.
Shano, noted lawyer and montage maker,
yes.
has promised to call in during hour three.
Uh-huh. Oh, bring it, Shano.
Yes.
He thinks that they ought to be trialed in war tribunals.
Yeah.
20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We're an unusual family.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Mike in Chicago on the terror trials. Hey, Mike.
Hey, gang. You know what? You guys had Fox in checkmate, and no one brought it up. If you listen to that Bill O'Reilly clip, the first one, he calls Mohammed a war criminal twice. Now, if you go by that train of thought, a war criminal, he's a prisoner of war. And if you torture him, that's against the Geneva Convention. This whole time they've been calling him enemy combatant.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But actually, getting back to my point, when Shano calls in, he would probably know this, but either court way we have this trial, it's to our advantage because if it's in New York, they actually have to disclose how they got that information, which is torture.
Mm-hmm.
Under freedom of the press, they have to release it in the media.
Mm-hmm.
If they have a war tribunal, it's to our advantage because the one thing that they have to do against everything else is they have to put them on trial and they have to say who ordered it, the military chain of command, and it would have to go back up to Cheney or Bush.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, for once, I agree with Charles Krauthammer. And frankly, Jim, if we are putting the terrorists and the Bush administration on trial, I say good.
Good.
Save
yes.
taxpayer money. Two trials in one.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, you want to hear it again?
This is all show, and it's going to be a trial, which the terrorists will conduct against us. A, against the Bush administration and the methods. And secondly, it's going to be the second half of the terror attack.
All right, whatever.
Yeah, he's terrified he's going to reveal the close relationship that the Bush family had with the Bin Ladens, right up to 9/11.
Yeah.
And that's going to make people a little oogie.
Let's go to that's a legal term.
We
apologize for talking over your head.
Well, next hour we'll ask Shano how that applies to
legally
the current
oogie.
Law.
David in Madison. Hey, Dave.
Hi. You guys really support these show trials, huh?
Are we going to call them show trials just because Charles Krauthammer did? Is that
No. I completely disagree with him. That's not the reason why he has it right as a show trial, but it's not a show trial in the terms of that he described it. The reason it's a show trial is that we are only prosecuting people under our court of law. We're only prosecuting people that we are absolutely sure will be convicted. So the evidentiary bar is set, very low for the other people, and they'll get either the show trials that are our military commission systems or the ones that they have absolutely no evidence against. They will just detain forever, like Eric Holder said. Eric Holder is only prosecuting four people in our court. The rest of them are getting these kangaroo trials in military commissions that are even by the Air Force, I forgot what his name was, but there's an Air Force lawyer that quit in 2008 because of his
personal. All right, we will talk about that when we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, of all the weirdos I've met around here, you're the worst.
Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Don't forget, Mama will be on the Larry King Live tonight. Tune in, won't ya? 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Jim, did you hear the news? I was on Larry King on Friday with guest host Wolf Blitzer.
Oh, that must have been fun.
Yes. And my whole life has become basically one of your skits. I didn't think I would be able to make it through there without thinking of you saying,
I've been constipated for years due to my diet of hard cheese and drywall. I haven't had a bowel movement since the Johnson administration. The Andrew Johnson administration.
Playing the heads.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we got. Oh, someone needs to send us, because I know I got booked last minute, so we don't have it up on StephanieMiller.com.
Yeah, nobody was able to grab it. And
somebody has to send it to us. Because it's hilarious. Jimmy goes, well, now, and we have Stephanie Miller of the aptly named Stephanie Miller.
Whoa. Show.
That wasn't the first time you've ever talked to Wolf, was it? I mean, you've been on his show.
I don't think so.
Were you in the situation?
No,
though?
I've never been in that situation.
Oh.
I've never had a situation with Wolf Blitzer before.
You don't want a situation with Wolf Blitzer.
No, you really don't. Oh. You don't want to be in that room.
A guy named Wolf. I think I came up with that in Columbus, the hard cheese and drywall.
Yes, that his diet consists entirely. Yes. And I did. I giggled when he first started talking to me. I was like,
Stephanie Miller from the Stephanie Miller Show.
You make me so uncomfortable. You say wildly controversial things like Jack Cafferty. Oh. All right. Representative Peter King, right-wing tool from New York on the terror trials.
The only winner here I see is Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, not the families. And the fact is, yes, there have been trials in New York, and the NYPD and the U.S. Marshals, they will do a tremendous job of providing security. But no security is a guarantee. And New York City is already the number one terrorist target.
Oh, I see.
That's so, the other argument. Yeah, mm-hmm. We're going to get hit again.
Because
you see,
they're trying
we...
him in New York.
Yes.
Well, here's an idea. How about making sure the Air Force is awake like they weren't on 9/11?
There's an idea. Jonathan in Pennsylvania on the terror trials. Hey, John.
Yeah, these people have no business. The Republicans have no business talking about this. First of all, they sent us to Iraq based on false allegations of non-existent WMDs. And second of all, they apparently think that our entire justice system and 16 intelligence agencies can't handle the judicial trial of one person. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. You know, John,
are ridiculous.
You raise a really good point. It's true. These guys go on TV and talk about this stuff. You're like going, you were wrong about everything. You don't get to talk about this. I mean, seriously, you try to like put it in context and go, wait a minute. So this happened on your watch, mm-hmm. despite repeated warnings. So, and then like John just points out, we went into an entirely different country that had nothing to do with it. And you think you have a better idea as to how to prosecute this stuff. Unbelievable. Rudy Giuliani, who is despicable.
This was not just another murder in the city of New York that year. This was an act of war and an act of terror. They should be prosecuted in a military tribunal.
Unbelievable, Jim. On record as being mm-hmm. a big fan of the Mousawi prosecution
right.
when Bush was president. Big
now
fan of the 93 World Trade Center.
Now it's completely different because...
You're despicable.
It's different because you're despicable. That's right.
Yeah.
Mary in San Francisco. Hello, Mayor.
Hi. I was just going to say that one of the reasons they're all hysterical about this is because the right wing control their followers by portraying the terrorists as all-powerful boogeyman.
Right.
And they fear and hate the idea of a public trial because that might expose the terrorists as flawed human beings, which will start mitigating people's fear. And the only reason they keep anybody in any kind of line at all is to keep them just insensible with terror
mm-hmm.
and kind of bringing it all out. And that's one of the reasons why the Nuremberg trials were so effective,
right.
because they were literally taking these people who everybody pretty much assumed were gods.
You know what I think they were scared of, Mary, is the new updated picture of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. You remember that we only have the one in the dirty T-shirt where we look like we just tortured
with all the
his
back hair. Yeah.
He looked like we tortured his hair. Is
yeah.
all. Yes.
Well, remember when Saddam Hussein was found in the hole?
Yes.
Supposedly, and he was brought out in the light, and one of the things that first happened was everybody kind of looked at him and said, God, he's pitiful.
Right.
And immediately kind of their stock went down as him being the big scary guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want any light shed on anything. Also, I do believe that a trial, if they can get away with it, a trial would go all the way up the ladder.
Yep.
Everybody mm-hmm. got... The Bush administration was unique in that it absolutely felt it could never get caught, it could do anything it wanted, and
yep.
it never had to worry about prosecution. And so they yep. really were sloppy.
Right. The Charles Krauthammers of the world, Mary, don't understand when they say, well, they're trying to put the Bush administration on trial, too. We
yes.
go, well, good. Well, okay, then.
I want to hear Mohammed say how incredibly easy we made it for them.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. They left
the front door open.
Listen, in this economy,
there's
we
a flat screen TV. We'll take it. Thank you.
We need all the taxpayer savings we can get, and all we can say is thank you. They can save the Hague some money.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Chris in Little Rock. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I just got a couple questions for you.
Okay.
If we bring these terrorists into the United States, they've already admitted guilt. They wanted to be executed over a year ago. How are we going to keep the United States safe when we can't even keep crime bosses and gang bosses from communicating with their people on the outside?
So you're
have you ever been to a prison? Have you ever visited a prison?
Maybe I'm missing your point.
Well, my point is most of your criminals in a prison convert to Islam.
What? Most of them, really?
Most of them? Where'd you get that statistic?
You've done your own study, have you?
I actually worked in a prison.
Oh.
Okay, where did you get that statistic?
From being there every day.
Oh,
that's scientific.
Have you ever been in a prison? Have you ever? I mean, I'm just asking.
I don't think so. No.
You should really.
But if I had, then I would know that most of the prisoners convert to Islam.
There is a vast majority that convert.
A vast majority. Yeah. Okay.
Now, you can poke fun and
I once got a ticket for a minor in possession of alcohol, but I it didn't result in a prison stay. But I would have a vastly superior legal knowledge if I had.
Convert to Islam, but didn't get, yeah. That
yeah,
is a
I did.
Made-up statistic. I don't remember Timothy McVeigh converting to Islam while he was in prison.
Hmm. Interesting statistic. Anybody?
What the hell does that have to do with anything?
It has nothing to
Well, you can't bring him to New York because all the Muslims in the prison will revolt and they'll attack us from the inside.
And apparently I'm not allowed to have an opinion because I've never been to prison.
Right.
I've had handcuffs on me.
Listen, well, we don't need to know about your weekend.
In the back of a police car when I got a minor in possession.
All right,
what
me too.
The hell.
See, we're both minor in possession of alcohol criminals.
But mine was for drinking Meister Brau.
I think I converted to Islam in the back of the car. I was so scared. My daddy was
going to
kill
knees.
Me.
Yeah, yeah. Stephanie Abdul-Jabbar.
I renounced Catholicism so quick it wouldn't make your head spin. David. In Madison. Yeah, so I can call my parents and go, I converted to Islam. Just kidding, but I did get arrested for an alcohol possession. David, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Go ahead.
Yes, I still want to know what you think about the fact that we have a multi-tiered justice system. One for key people we think we can convict and one we, you know, just kind of stow away indefinitely. As far as the...
Baltic says what? Say this one more time.
Well, essentially what we have is we give real trials only to people that we know in advance we will convict. Everybody else, like, the people we're keeping in Guantanamo right now are going to get what were described.
Right. Well, as you know, the Bush administration let many people go from Guantanamo because we didn't have any evidence against them. Some of them were obviously third and fourth hearsay, whatever. I mean, they were cab drivers that were turned in because someone had a grudge against them or
right.
whatever. I mean, how would you suggest we resolve this legal situation? We just leave them in jail forever?
No, I would suggest that we give every single one of our detainees the same treatment, the same criminal trial we're giving to these four people that we have overwhelming evidence against, apparently,
sure.
and we will just give them this trial that, you know, is a foregone conclusion.
I'm all for that.
Yeah, well, all right. In fact, I was going to talk about that next, is what's happening with the other Gitmo detainees and what we're going to do about that. 42 minutes after the hour. Thank you, caller segue. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human Prozac. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Woo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 47 minutes after the hour. Republican Representative Lamar Smith.
They still should not be transferred to U.S. soil where they might get additional rights, where they will have a public platform, where evidence might come out that will impede our ability to gather intelligence or conduct surveillance on individuals.
Right. A public platform. There's that term again.
Mm-hmm.
They might talk about stuff that we don't want people to know about. Shut up!
Like waterboarding.
Quiet.
Shh. Shush. In courtrooms barred to the public, dozens of terror suspects are pleading for their freedom from Guantanamo Bay right now, sometimes even testifying on their own behalf by video from the U.S. Naval Base. 15 federal judges and in the U.S. courthouse are giving detainees their day in court after years behind bars. The judges have found the government's evidence against 30 detainees wanting and ordered their release. By the way, do people remember how many have already been released while George Bush was president?
Mm-hmm. That.
Yeah. One district judge wrote, much of the factual material contained in those exhibits is hotly contested for a host of different reasons, ranging from the fact that it contains second and third-hand hearsay to allegations that it was obtained by torture to the fact that no statement purports to be a verbatim account of what was said.
Mm-hmm.
As we've said over and over, just a giant legal and moral and ethical mess that the Bush administration left. In the case of one detainee from Syria, the man had been tortured repeatedly by al-Qaeda for 3 months into falsely confessing he was a U.S. spy, then jailed for 18 months by the Taliban before he fell into the hands of U.S. forces.
Where he was tortured for being a spy for the... Yeah, wow.
Right, and now we say he's part of... Well, he's part of al-Qaeda and Taliban. It's like, well in the
maybe
sense
now.
That he...
Yeah. Maybe now he is after he tortured him.
Yeah. Well, as Jim and I have been saying for years, I mean, that's the problem, obviously, with some of these detainees at Gitmo. It's like they might not have wanted to kill us when they got there. Now they do. Now what the hell? Right. You know, I mean, it's a...
You tortured a guy who was tortured by the Taliban.
Yeah. Jack Reed...
to show how much better we are than... Okay.
Senator Jack Reed, Democrat of Rhode Island, said Mohammed and the others want to be considered as holy warriors, and if we try them before military officers, that image of a soldier will be portrayed by the Islamic community. That's not the image we want. To me, I'm not getting my mind around what is a better way than to try them in the American system of justice in the American city they committed the crime, convict mm-hmm. them, and execute them.
That's right.
What is wrong with that outcome?
Absolutely
Someone
nothing.
Tell me. Apparently, we are big, fat hypocrites. So Jim in Chicago says so.
Yeah,
hello, Jim. Welcome.
Hello. I'd like to have my own segment called Left-Wing Hypocrites.
Okay. Ooh. Wheel of Left-Wing Hypocrites. Go.
Yes. You and your friends with Media Matters, just in the time I've been listening, you talked about how Fox News is the tool of the right wing and the Republican Party.
Yes. Yes.
What about MSNBC, whose left-wing is all anything?
Yes, MSNBC has absolutely geared their programming to be the anti-Fox.
That's right. But not all of it.
But not all of it.
Because they have Joe Scarborough.
Joe Scarborough on the morning.
They have Joe Scarborough for 3 hours. That's the equivalent of the whole primetime lineup on MSNBC. So MSNBC does have other points of view.
Oh, yeah, and
tell me the Fox liberal that has a show.
Well, Fox doesn't, but I personally think that they should have a liberal, but they do.
Thank you.
You pick on O'Reilly constantly.
Yes.
But one thing that he does is he does put both sides on. You know his conservative bent, but he generally does have liberals on there also.
He does have liberals on to scream at and hector mercilessly. You're right. And
he
shout over.
He make their points, though.
No.
No.
Have you ever seen Barney Frank on there? He just,
Barney Frank
name calling
tries to evade all the questions, too, and he doesn't let them get away with that.
You're right. He does have a special interviewing style.
You pinhead!
Ideological zombie, loony ideologues, cowards, gutter snipes, charlatans, and jerk. I just think he's a weasel. You're a paranoid crazy. You're either a moron or a liar. He's a corrupt midget.
You're right. Keith Olbermann does not have a conservative zon to badger like that.
No, and then, you call for people not to be dismissive of President Obama, yet how many years have you been dismissive of Bush?
Of his policies, yes.
Bush and called him a fascist. They've called him every name in the book. They've called him an idiot. You know, you've been doing it for years, your liberal friends. And your Media Matters fellow there.
I don't have any friends. No one likes me, sir. But all right, thank you.
You don't know her well.
George Bush was asking for it. I mean, come on. Yeah. How could you not make fun of George Bush?
Please.
How could you?
Exactly.
Obama is a very serious guy. Whether you disagree with his policies or not, he's not a buffoon.
Yeah.
George Bush,
yeah.
Buffoon.
Yeah. People called him an idiot.
And Nimrod.
Well, if the pointy hat fits.
He barely speaks English. His native language.
David in San Diego. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good. No one cares. Go ahead.
Okay. Really, what this amounts to is a political target to keep Guantanamo Bay open because, simply put, the Obama administration wants to close it. So it's all political.
Uh-huh. George Bush said he wanted to close the Guantanamo, too.
But that wasn't political.
All right, never mind. Yeah. I stunned him.
Yeah.
By the way, Jim, did you see that the University of Virginia is going to record an oral history of the George W. Bush presidency?
Wow, that'll be fun.
That's the human dial tone.
We could just do bits I've done over the past 5 years.
There you go. There's an oral history. Bush says the project will offer a comprehensive look at what it was like to lead the country during what he described as extraordinary challenges, one of which is that George Bush was president.
Right, because he's extraordinarily challenged.
And that became our extraordinary challenge.
We had an extraordinarily challenged president.
That was running the country, into
challenging times. Think there's a connection there? No. Got to be a coincidence.
You can fill in your own punchline there, oral history of the Bush presidency. Okay.
Oh.
All right.
Why would anybody want to compile that? Mm. Oh. We've already had an oral history.
Come on. We didn't have to go there. That was funny. Okay, Craig in San Luis Obispo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, I just want to talk about your previous caller about, working in a state prison. I've worked in a state prison in Liberal, California, and I can tell you that in Pelican Bay, our max state prison, it's going to be worse than what they're dealing with in Guantanamo, because they have no contact with other prisoners. They have only 1 hour out of 24 to work out. And I'm sure the federal prison in New York City is going to be a lot worse than it is in here in Liberal California.
And they don't get prayer mats, do they? Even though, according to our last caller, every prisoner in the United States has converted to Islam.
They don't have contact, so how can they convert others to Islam.
Exactly.
It doesn't work that way.
Don't you love those callers that have done their own little studies?
Yeah, by personal experience.
Every prisoner in prison in the United States has converted
to Especially the mafia guys.
Islam.
Yeah,
they're...
What?
Okay, let's go
I'll renounce my Catholic faith. Why?
Lance in Tennessee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I don't know, there's a very famous episode of The Twilight Zone where the aliens come in and try to take over the town by getting the people to try to think one of them is the alien and root themselves out, essentially just dividing them and making them weaker to be able to be taken over. I think that's what has been going on since 9/11. We've created this witch hunt mentality of who's the terrorist, what's a terrorist, and essentially what it's done is made us weaker and allowed us to be more susceptible to the Republican notion of abandon your ability to reason and just we're protecting you. And by making this a issue of Christianity versus Islam, you're upholding a system that already praises the abandonment of your ability to reason and think, and coupling that with this witch hunt, and it's making us weaker and allowing people to come in and impose these anti-constitutional policies that are just ruining America right now.
Or extra-constitutionalism.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it lies a land of fear, paranoia.
And a book called To Serve Man. Well, that's a different episode.
Yeah, I know.
It's a cookbook!
Chris and Chicago.
Hi, morning all. I'm here to mitigate Jim from Chicago. Anyway, Jonathan Turley was on Rachel Maddow and talked about the fact that these guys are jihadists and consider themselves holy warriors, but if they come to our criminal justice system, they're treated pretty much like any robber.
Yeah,
and the
like
other thing is
the criminals that they are. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is, just because he's up on this crime, he might get acquitted. How is that? But there are going to be people stacked up because he also has taunted everybody that he killed Danny Pearl. So he'll be up for murder then.
Hmm.
So there you go. So
I was kidding.
Another thing in the wings for him too.
I'm sorry. What was that?
I was kidding. I was drunk. I had a lampshade on my head. You can't trust a man with a lampshade on his head. They say all kinds of crazy things.
Denny who?
57 minutes after the hour. Back with the proprietor of GodHatesShrimp.com.
Yeah.
Celebrity Stack and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Aha! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, the Dow is up 135 points. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Mama's appearance on Larry King Live with guest host Wolf Blitzer on Friday would be up.
Blitzer.
If Shano had bothered to record it, but apparently we didn't give him enough notice.
You're fired.
Oh, we're not paying him. All right. Shano, the official lawyer and montage maker of the Stephanie Miller Show, is on the phone.
I'm fired. That's great. I didn't get the notice till the next morning, so.
How dare you not be in my beck and call for free 24/7?
I tried. I recorded all the Sunday repeats, and they just weren't there. It was all Al Gore.
Yeah.
Who wants to hear from him?
Thank you for the fabulous montages you have graced us with all these years.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate it. I have so much fun doing them.
And you've done over 200 of them, right?
Wow. I think so.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And you can reveal that for absolutely nothing. Am I right?
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely
yes,
nothing. That's my favorite
right
part.
You must double my pay immediately.
No, quadruple it. And you've set up a website, haven't you, where you
I
post
have,
these?
But it's not officially launched, not until
okay.
January.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, so. We'll announce that then.
Yes, we will.
All right. So in the less important time when you're not doing things for me, mm-hmm. You are a lawyer.
Yes.
Oh. That sounded a little squishy on that.
Yeah, well. I wish I had more work at doing it, but, you know, it's the time of the economic crisis. So
yes.
Yeah.
So
go ahead.
You have a rare disagreement with Mama, who, as you know from listening, is always right.
It's not a disagreement. It's more that I understand we must have a trial.
It's a family Thanksgiving squabble? Is that what we're having?
If you'd like to come over for Thanksgiving, I cook very well. I understand you have your own things.
And he will serve rum.
A turkey and a montage. All right. Yeah. So you think that the terror trials should be in military tribunals?
Yes, they should be. But they must be trials. But more importantly, it must be public. Mm-hmm. So, and if we do it in federal courts, there are no cameras.
Ah,
okay.
And when Nuremberg occurred, that was a military tribunal. And mm-hmm. It was public. It was on the screen. Right. I mean, I don't know that I was around for that or I was an infant, but yeah. We could see it on the television, and we could understand what was going on, and the two sides presented their sides, and that's what occurred. And so I don't understand. I think that the concern is not versus military versus civil. It's more public versus private. I believe that the right wingers really are more concerned about keeping it behind closed doors where you don't hear everything.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, you're absolutely right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's the only point I had.
I know from my dad being a prosecutor at Nuremberg that's their side is I'm a Nazi. And we're like, thank you.
Nothing is justified their side, but you know, having both sides in everyone, the whole world, you can see it, and then mm-hmm. afterwards you can decide as well as the jury.
Yep. Yep.
So
well,
in a federal court in New York, it's going to be a camera. And you have a bunch of people spinning, running outside with their little pads. You know, Fox News is complaining it's going to be a circus, but I guarantee you they'll be the ringmasters.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Shane. Oh, thanks for calling, honey. Get busy on another montage by the end of the show.
I will.
Okay,
I will. I'll
thank
get
you.
One by tomorrow.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Shane.
All right. Ken in L.A. is also a lawyer. Hello, Ken.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Yes, good.
I tend to sort of agree with Shano, except, you know, because he's, I think he must be older than I am, but before they had television, they also were able to publicize trials. They have things called newspapers. They
yes.
Had, mm-hmm. They have transcripts. They
right.
have things that let you know exactly what was said.
Yeah, and everything that is said in a trial does go into the public record.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where I disagree with, I think, Jim, whichever guy comes late now.
That would be Jim.
Jim, the guy that gets to sleep in.
The reason that the right wing doesn't want this trial and the reason they've never wanted the trial is because of how embarrassing it'll be to them.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
well, that's,
you know,
what Chano just said. It's more, they're more concerned about the openness of it than,
as a defense attorney, I can tell you that they're going to run those things up the flagpole. And instead, I think Obama's doing what he always does, and I tend to, I'm starting to come to the conclusion that he just plays chess all the time.
I just was going to say, you play chess, and once again, chestnut mm-hmm. checkers. Mama said that. You know, Chris, as I recall, fine American Jim Ward got Mama a $100 gift certificate to Petco for my birthday. What do you get me?
Bupkis.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You're fired.
Wait a minute. Hey, I brought you in a cake, didn't I?
No.
No? Not this year?
It says no.
Oh, what happened?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. Well, you never bring in anything for my birthday.
Anyway, since Mama is getting preparing for a move to New York, I'm going to buy, I need lots of bags, you know, poop bags and things
right.
of that nature.
Are you driving to New York with the dogs?
No. I'm flying them on Pet Airways. We're going to have the founder on.
The pilots also dogs? That'd be interesting.
It's the cutest thing. You get like a little flight announcement in your inbox, just like, you know, for your reservations, except they call them passengers.
Oh,
that is so precious. Here is your confirmation for your passenger.
Get
okay.
that message from the captain over the loudspeaker.
Scooby-Doo's the captain.
Do they fly other pets besides dogs?
Yes, they fly just dogs and cats it's the only airline that does it in the cabin.
Dogs and cats flying together. It's a crisis of biblical proportions.
Exactly.
So I could send Jazz if I wanted to.
Exactly.
Huh, okay. He could serve drinks mm-hmm. or in Sassy.
You don't get to fly with them. You have to, they
right.
only, they fly and then you go
meet them.
They
have a drinks cart where
they
all
they go
jump up and
it's a little field trip
out of the bowl. Instead of peanuts, they get little doggy snacks. For the
all
cats.
Right.
If the oxygen mask drops from the ceiling, do not bat it around. It's not a cat toy. It's there for a reason. Put it on yourself first, then your kittens.
Oh, now you've shredded it. Well, now you're not going to be able to breathe. Oh, look what you've done. All right, here's something I will not be purchasing. It was in one of those, do you get those fancy schmancy catalogs? You know, I don't know which one it is, Front Gate Hammock or Schlemmer something, one of those things.
Sure.
This is God's way of telling you that you have way too much money or you're just way too busy. Where are my phone tags here?
Only people who live in compounds get those kinds of catalogs. I don't get them.
I don't ever buy anything out of them.
Okay.
This is God's way of telling you you're just far too busy or you have too much money. It's the automatic canine fetch machine. This award-winning toy, I don't know who gave it an award, keeps an energetic dog chasing tennis balls long after his human playmate tires. So you don't even have to throw a ball for your dog. It's a machine that throws a ball for your dog.
No wonder why, as a nation, we're so fat.
Or even lets him play fetch all by himself. The machine. You're too busy to have a dog if you have to buy a bam, ball-launching machine. The machine, can be set to launch balls automatically, or when a button on the remote control is pressed, you can adjust the distance and the interval in which balls are launched. And if a dog is trained to drop a tennis ball into the machine, he can play indefinitely on his own.
Hmm. You could lob tennis balls at the gate. A couple of they're playing chair too loud at 2 a.m.
Yeah, I need one of those for my neighbors.
You have another one for boy band.
Yeah.
Keep a screaming dog off your body.
That's what I should do. Train my dogs to launch balls at the neighbors. Shut up, you bastards. All right. Police in Florida said they have arrested a man who called 911 five times to report that he wanted someone to have sex with him.
That makes sense. I've done that.
Well,
no,
he has a good explanation. He says he did it because it was the only number he knew that was free while his cell phone was out of minutes.
Oh.
Out of minutes and even some
1-900, not so free.
Wow. You can't get a 69 from 911. Come on. All right, let's...
It's mathematically impossible.
Julie in Seattle writes, "Hey, Mama, as a mature woman with dusty eggs who rarely gets within projectile drool range of a baby, you do a fine job humoring all your callers with their please think of the children issues. Personally, I don't really give much of a fig about the noisy, contagion-rife midgets, but when I saw the mention below about gay parenting and how gay kids turn or the kids of gays turn out to be normal somehow, she thought of the Stephanie Miller newscast." Well, thank you. That's interesting because we're having the proprietor of GodHatesShrimp.com. In just a few minutes. Abby Goldberg, who is a fine American assistant professor in the Department of Psychology at Clark University, says these children do just fine. Her new book, Lesbian and Gay Parents and Their Children, is an analysis of more than 100 academic studies, most looking at groups of 30 to 150 subjects, primarily on lesbian mothers, though of late there is a spike in research about gay fathers as well. Weirdly, according to all those fancy studies, kids did not catch the gay from being raised by the gay.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy.
Parents in the New York Times, what's good for the kids?
Is much like gay kids didn't catch the straight from their parents.
Apparently.
Yeah.
In most ways, the accumulated research shows children of same-sex parents are not markedly different from those of heterosexual parents. Huh? They show no increased incidence of psychiatric disorders, are just as popular at school, and have just as many friends.
What?
Oh, here's a troubling aspect, though, Jim. There is data, though, that shows, for instance, that daughters of lesbian mothers are more likely to aspire to professions that are traditionally considered male, like doctors and lawyers.
The horror of it all.
So, yeah, you see? They could have wildly successful...
careers.
Careers where you can actually make money.
You don't have to support them for the rest of your life.
Careers, careers where they can make money instead of radio careers.
Someone ought to look into that. All right. Angelina Jolie has infuriated Brad Pitt reportedly after she has rekindled her romance with her former lesbian lover, Jenny Shimizu.
Jenny who?
Sure, it's not Fergie.
Fergie likes
Pitt believes Jolie is back in contact with Shmoozy as a revenge for his alleged indiscretions with Jennifer Aniston. I'm not team anybody anymore. I'm so confused.
It's trying to hold him to any kind of normal standard.
Yeah, it's impossible.
All right. By the way, Jim, did you say? Oh, you might as well cue the music again. All right. Did you see Carrie Prejean? Remember that biggest mistake of her life, the sex tape?
Uh-huh.
Apparently, there's about 40 of them.
Oh, wow.
According to Radar
Online.
So it
was only the 39th biggest mistake of
her
life. Okay.
Technically, she's not good at math. However,
Radar, I'm guessing most of them will be on YouTube.
Radar Online has uncovered that there are 7 more biggest mistakes of her life, all of them solo performances, and about 30 photos of Carrie, most topless, some showing kind of every air.
Yeah.
Every
okay.
thing.
All any the, other error.
Error. And most taken by Carrie using her reflection in a mirror.
We like ourselves a little too much now, don't we?
We like ourselves very much, don't we? Carrie can be heard moaning.
She's not into... Oh, right. What?
Hmm? She can be heard moaning on a few of the tips. She's religious,
okay.
Jim.
Okay.
Oh,
it was
you know.
Religious ecstasy. Sure.
Yes.
Oh, God. Ooh. Oh, God.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Lord.
Oh,
Jesus.
Oh, no.
Oh!
Vivid Entertainment already has the first tape and is attempting to negotiate its release with Carrie, according to TMZ. Oh, dear.
Why
is Carrie Prejean even negotiating with Vivid about this?
Because she's a Christian.
She's with the money changers. She's out
a good
little,
capitalist Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I drive right past Vivid's headquarters every day.
Well, why don't you do a little knock on the door and see what's up?
Okay.
What's up? When's it coming?
Carrie here?
When's it coming, so to speak? 20 minutes. Thank God we have the proprietor of GodHatesShrimp.com coming up to tell us how immoral the gays are as we...
I love it. Just take a look at the site before the interview. It's a great site.
Parody. It's funny. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Finally, talk radio you can dance to. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
24 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Jeff in Chicago, welcome. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey.
Hey, I miss all the cowboys. What happened to all the cowboys? Whatever happened to...
Where have all the cowboys gone?
Yes. What happened to bring them on? They all wanted this war on terrorism, and now we have the terrorists, and they don't want them.
Yeah, exactly. Pat Leahy said, I don't think we should run and hide and cower. Let's use our system. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg and law enforcement officials in New York believe that New York City can not only handle this, but it's appropriate to go forward in the very area where these people launched this horrific attack against us, said Hillary Clinton.
Ray Giuliani doesn't think so. Now he's not so tough anymore. We can't stand it. The whole city fall apart if you have it. I'm shaking in my boots.
You're despicable.
I'm about to wet my pants, knowing that these people are going to be here in my city.
He
doesn't have Bernie Kerik to hide behind anymore. Yeah. That's it.
Giuliani was similarly critical of the administration's handling of the shooting spree at Fort Hood. What? Saying President Obama doesn't get the fact that there's an Islamic war against us. Bernie, you might want to wait till they finish the investigation what happened at Fort Hood. The president said this weekend he's ordered a complete review of the shooting to uncover every piece of information, including what was known about the shooter in advance. That investigation will look at the motives of the alleged gunman, including his views and contacts. I insist the full story be told. All of us should resist the temptation to turn this tragic event into the political theater that sometimes dominates the discussion here in Washington. The stakes are far too high. Rudy, talking to you. Okay. By the way, let's skip to 12. Mm-hmm. The House attorney talking about Hassan yesterday.
He's not ambulatory. He's paralyzed, at least from the waist down. And my understanding is that there's no immediate likelihood that that's going to change.
That was at the Justice Department aviary.
Again. Yes. Whose idea is it to conduct interviews in the aviary?
I don't ever understand. That's a little distracting to the issues at hand. The president also talking about his decision on Afghanistan.
I don't think this is a matter of some datum of information that I'm waiting on. It's a matter of making certain that when I send young men and women into war and I devote billions of dollars of U.S. taxpayer money, that it's making us safer.
Thinking things through.
Yeah.
You mean, rather than rushing into an unnecessary war, it's so ironic, isn't it, Jim? All these same people that were wrong about everything are opening their big pie holes about this now. First of all, you missed 9/11 on your watch, and then you attacked the wrong country.
And you missed a chance to get Bin Laden when he was right there. You called off the Rangers.
Bill in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Bill.
Hello. Isn't it interesting that, and you just played that tape by the president, who's trying to do the right thing, and the Justice Department says, we're going to go about it the right way in trying these people, but they're called the right wing, and they're against it.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, wow, Chris, I missed this little piece of radio magic. G. Gordon Liddy had former Republican presidential candidate Gary Bauer on.
Gary Bauer?
Yeah, the...
I can't go on your show. You're too creepy. You make the scary man go away. He's going to try to light my hands on fire. I need the letters of transit, Rick.
He looks like Peter Lorre. That's why that's funny. Okay, Liddy said, here's the transcript, Jim. I'm convinced that despite his protestations to the contrary, Barack Obama is a Muslim. I don't believe he's a Christian at all. I believe he's a Muslim. And Gary Bauer said... Well, you know, the church that he famously or infamously attended was odd in many ways. It was one of those Muslim-y kind of Christian churches.
It wasn't that odd.
Not only did Bauer not disagree with Liddy's claim that Obama is lying about his Christianity, he went on to praise Liddy's contribution to America's political debate. You do an outstanding job on your show bringing people the information they need. I commend you.
He's a convicted felon.
We need more convicted felons
on
the
birther.
Radio. And a birther.
28 minutes after the hour, the proprietor of GodHatesShrimp.com next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know it was Filthy Thin Lipped Hooker Night here at the Laugh Factory.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. It is. That is our show. Hooker Night at the Laugh Factory.
Yeah, Filthy Thin-Lipped Hooker Night at the Laugh Factory.
Oh, pardon me. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Church is in session. Shrimp, crab, lobsters, clams, mussels, all of these are an abomination before the Lord, just as gays are an abomination. Why stop at protesting gay marriage? Bring all of God's laws into the heathens and the sodomites. We call upon all Christians to join the crusade against Long John Silver's and Red Lobster. Yay! Mm-hmm. Even Popeyes shall be cleansed.
They have catfish. From,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Although catfish comes from... Catfish has scales, so that's okay.
We'll find out for sure from the proprietor of GodHatesShrimp.com. Good morning, Joe Decker.
Hi. How are you today?
I am fine. I love your website. Always have.
Oh, thank you so much.
You know, you might want to join me. I'm thinking of trying to get a resolution on the ballot to ban lobster in Maine.
I think that would be very effective. We're doing a lot of work here in California to try and get these heathen red lobsters out of neighborhoods that have kids in them, and I think Maine lobster is the next target.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've had this guy on, John Marcotte, I think his name is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he makes a point that you make. He's trying. He literally is going to get on the ballot here in California a resolution to ban divorce.
I think it's the traditional interpretation of the Bible. What's wrong with that?
Well, you know, obviously your website is hilarious and tongue in cheek, you use a lot of really common sense in that. You talk about there's a specific condemnation of divorce in the gospel spoken by Jesus, while at the same time he never said a word about homosexuality ever, right?
I think you have to put priorities first. I mean, that shrimp is an abomination comes before the prohibition of homosexuality in Leviticus. First things first.
Yes. And let me go on record as saying I love seafood and gays. But you say Jesus never mentions homosexuality in the Gospels, not once. If it was so important that we had to clamp down on it anywhere and everywhere it rears its terrible head, don't you think he would have, at least, you know, brought it up? I mean, how do they square that, the religious right?
I'm never quite clear on it. I mean, when you get deep into the theology, there's a lot of, I think there are guys who spend years arguing, but most of the discussion of this kind of stuff doesn't actually happen at that level. It happens with guys protesting people's funerals. I mean, what the heck?
Yeah. Well, that's right. This was a reaction to GodHatesFags.com, right?
Well,
crazy Reverend Phelps website.
I saw some photographs of some KKK and some Westboro protesters in 2004 and did a quick little Photoshop of their God Hates Sodomite signs, which was easier to Photoshop, less letters, sodomites, shrimp, you know.
That's true.
I love the sign you have up on your website. It says, pinch the tail, suck the head, burn in hell, GodHatesShrimp.com.
Ryland did, I did the Photoshop back. Some years ago, my friend Mary passed it along to some friends, and this guy Ryland got a hold of me and said, "Let's do a website." And so we put together the site, and I got to give him a credit. He did a lot of work on the banners, including that one, and just had comedy gold.
Right, absolutely.
Man has style.
Let's share some of your biblical fun facts, because you say the point we're trying to make is that by using the Old Testament, specifically Leviticus, as a basis for protesting gay marriage, you run into a couple of problems.
Yep.
The first is that in the New Testament, Jesus established the new covenant, which stated that the old Mosaic laws about unclean things were invalid. The second reason is if you still want to quote from Leviticus, despite Jesus doing away with Mosaic law, then you better be prepared to endorse the whole thing, not just the parts you like. This includes not only the injunction against shellfish and mussels and such, but also against wearing fabrics made of blended fibers, cutting or shaving your beard, sowing mixed seed in the field, and a slew of other things.
Stoning your children for back-talking, you know.
Yes.
The whole works.
Yes. Yeah, I believe, right, is it for swearing? Or just for sass in general?
I think sass. It's, personally, my interpretation in our belief, it's sass. But,
just for sass.
You know, we understand that there are, you know, respectful arguments, theological arguments.
Yeah. But, you know, to my knowledge, Joe, the problem is no one on the religious right has ever really addressed these actual, you know, these real facts about the Bible and about Jesus. It just doesn't square, does it?
Well, I think that might get in the way of whatever they're actually trying to accomplish.
Well, I mean, the good point you make is that he specifically talks about divorce, and yet, mm-hmm. you know, people go, well, that's ridiculous. What? We're not going to ban divorce, you know?
Well, it'll be interesting to see if we ban divorce. I don't think it's very likely, but it's just so hypocritical, well, and it's so counterproductive.
You make the historical observation. You say, you know, the notion of a committed healthy homosexual relationship was utterly foreign to early Jews and Christians, as was the notion of abolition of slavery, racial intermarriage, antiseptics, and all sorts of things that we...
Yeah, and
they say nothing of vaccine.
And when you get into the Romans and the Corinthians, the New Testament stuff that people like to trot out, it's not even clear that people were talking about the same things. A lot, there are real scholars who feel like the condemnation of homosexuality in Romans is actually a condemnation of ritual temple prostitution, which, you know, if they don't want to have ritual temple prostitution in their churches, you know, mm-hmm. more power to them. Mm-hmm. That's their church.
You know, you also point out in here how it's interesting. It seems like they use arguments, whatever sort of fits their worldview. They kind of say, oh, well, you know, some of the translations were this or that. Well, you know, I've had biblical scholars on my show that have said that, you know, they don't interpret Sodom and Gomorrah as being about homosexuality. They interpret it as being about promiscuity.
Yeah, well, it's a very complex and very old work. I mean, I'm not surprised there are a lot of interpretations, but that these people are so sure and then work to destroy really functional relationships that, as you mentioned earlier in the news, are you know, just as capable of raising healthy children. It's just tragic.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't. What's your take on it? I mean, obviously, this is not a good string. Maine was what, about the 30th state that has voted now to ban the
32nd, 33rd. Politically, it's very, very frustrating every single time. But as others have pointed out, we have won this battle generationally. It's just a matter of timing at this point. If you look at the beliefs of the 18 to 29 demographic, the vast majority of folks of that age group, and I'm older myself, but believe that same-sex marriage is a matter of equal protection, just like it says in the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a matter of time.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. GodHatesShrimp.com is the website. Doing the Lord's
work. Selfish.
Joe Decker doing the Lord's work. Thanks for taking time for us, Joe.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All
have
right.
a great day.
You too. There he goes, Joe Decker. By the way, I just had to do this in a related story this morning. Here's some breaking news. Ted Haggard, the noted Crystal Methodist.
Yes.
He is mounting a comeback by saying, I was never an anti-gay guy. Huh. That's interesting, because I seem to recall him.
Fabulous. We don't have to debate about what we should think about homosexual activity. Mm. It's written in the Bible.
Oh.
Fabulous. I think I know what you did last night.
Mm.
Fabulous.
Dear.
Wow, he's really gay.
As you know, he's now purportedly completely heterosexual.
Mm.
He hosted a prayer meeting at his Colorado home, in an attempt to mount a comeback. Oh, you shouldn't use Mount and Ted Haggard in the same sentence, probably.
Oh, you just gave me a mental image.
He attracted about 110 people.
Oh.
America, he said, America loves a scandal, but they love a comeback even more. Haggard argued that he can redeem himself in part because he was never a hateful anti-gay guy. He said, I was always well aware of my own personal struggles, but my... But my desire was to be more godly. I was never a religious right, hateful, anti-gay guy, secretly running off, except right at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, that part at the end.
He actually said that? That you didn't add that?
No.
Oh, my God, that's funny.
He put, okay.
Except
there was
the
male hooker in the meth of the back rubs. Okay, at the end, but not... He said, it was good for me to go through the Christian hatred of people believing that I was a gay man. Where did we get that from? That is crazy. And hating me so strongly because of it. And so because of it, my compassion for the homosexual community has gone up incredibly. Oh, good. So I'm sure he'll change his point of view on the... for instance, this is him.
Okay.
I would do a guess the quote, but he said, we need the federal marriage amendment. It's for the sake of the children. It would be devastating for the children of our nation and for the future of Western civilization for us to say that homosexual unions or lesbian unions or any alteration of that has the moral equivalent of a heterosexual monogamous marriage, much like he and, what's his name? Gail?
Oh, the lovely and talented Mrs. Haggard?
Yes. Whom he loves. Who, if you don't believe that, you are a bastard people.
And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people, because you're bastard people.
And in addition...
I just hate you, and I hate your ass face!
All right. Well, that's good that he's had quite the, you know, since becoming completely straight, he has a different point of view now.
Mm.
43...
It's funny how scandal can do that to you, huh?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. 43 minutes, he used the gay away, apparently. Uh-huh. 43 minutes...
In spray form.
Uh-huh. 43 minutes after the hour. Oh, my goodness. Speaking of which, a couple more.
Wheel of right-wing hypocrites!
When we return on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's the life of the Democratic Party. Ignore the lampshade. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 48 minutes after the hour, the Dow is up 136 points. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Eileen in Asheville, North Carolina, with a question for Mama. Hello, Eileen.
Hi.
Hello.
I think you're keeping something from us.
What's that?
I think you're going to secretly take over Ed's MSNBC.
Oh, that is not true. No, 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 no. No. I'll be on Ed's show.
Somebody's then.
In New York? No, no, no. I'm going so I don't have to get up at
a stupid o'clock
anymore, and I might have a life of some sort.
Well, that's your story, but I say you're going to take over.
Oh, that's not true. All right, Eileen and her little all about Eve conspiracy theory.
What you're going to do? You're going to be available to be on shows on set there a lot more often.
Yes, and more importantly, I get away from you two mooks.
Yeah, and you get to sleep in, which I'm insanely jealous of.
The Stephanie Miller Show is going by in a couple of weeks, starting November. Postal, by postal. We will be, Mama will be in New York, Mooks in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be going back and forth. Everybody relax. I love the conspiracy theories, though. Hilarious. Yeah, I love, that's the biggest one. People are going, you're leaving the radio show? I'm like, let me get this straight. I'm going to leave my sole source of income to go to New York to do free television appearances? What are you, crazy? Oh, by the way, you know I told you my favorite right-wing hate letter writer?
Yeah.
His name is Jay, and he writes really horrible, mean things about everybody on the progressive side. This is, which is nice. He gave me some publicity for my appearance tonight on Larry King.
Okay.
Larry King has reversed his network's ban of childless spinster Stephanie Miller from his low-rated CNN show. It's not low-rated. In exchange for Miller's agreement to appear on King's program and smear Sarah Palin and Carrie Prejean, I don't have any agreement with Larry. I don't talk to him except on the show. What? Okay, hang on. He has more breaking news, Jay. Let's see. The aging, childless, low-rated Stephanie Miller, who has previously been banned from Larry King's program, jumped at King's offer to return to his low-rated program specifically to smear and slander Palin and Prejean. Apparently, Jay has some information that I don't have about my communication.
You are aging and you are childless.
He has some more. Well, that part is true.
Yeah.
Am I saying Jay's wrong? I'm just saying it's mean. Palin and Prejean are regular targets of lies and childish smears on Miller's low-rated Democrat-funded radio program. If only I could get some Democrat money for this program. Ah! Okay. Why can't any of this be true?
Yeah.
Miller's program features, among other blah, blah. This just goes on and on. The homely, discredited Stephanie Miller is...
homely.
Is scheduled to appear on tonight's Larry King program, where she will lie about smear and slander the much wealthier, more popular, more attractive, married, and non-substance-abusing, self-made Sarah Palin. Larry King has agreed not to ask Stephanie Miller about rumors of her multiple bouts with substance abuse or her barren womb during tonight's program. That's kind of funny.
Substance abuse?
She's like the Don Rickles of the right. I think I'm pretty open about my substance abuse. I'm usually drunk when I go on the show, for God's sakes. It's not like I'm trying to hide it.
No.
All right, let's go to Kathy in Jacksonville, Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kath.
Hi, Stephanie. I was just watching this or listening to your thing about the rules in the Old Testament, and I Googled and found a site, www.jewfaq.org, which lists the 613 commandments. There's not just 10.
Oh, yikes,
yeah. Number 17 is to circumcise the male offspring. We got to start that, and who's going to check on it? Oh, my gosh. We've got number 28 here, that is not to do wrong in anyone in speech. That, there goes Fox News. Okay. Number 56, not to intermarry with Gentiles.
That's rut row.
That's up a lot of people.
Rut row.
Okay. Yep. Number 64 through 66 has another list of all kinds of people that Jewish folks are not supposed to marry.
Mm.
And I am one.
Uh-oh.
But I wasn't one when I married, so I would have been breaking that.
Yeah.
There we go. Number, let's see.
And if you're wearing two different kinds of fabric, we should just go ahead and stone you right now.
You're in huge trouble. Okay. Mm-hmm. Number 69 states that there shall be no harlot in Israel. That is, there shall be no intercourse with a woman without previous marriage, with a deed of marriage, and a formal declaration of marriage. We're going to have to stone a whole lot of people
for
that one.
Oh, my goodness. Funny that that should be number 69. I'm just saying. So what about the harlots? All right. Brian in Buffalo says God does not like the gays. Hello, Brian.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine.
And by the way, I have a brother that's gay, by the way.
I've
never met him yet, but I wanted to.
You haven't met your gay brother?
Well, he lives in San Diego. I just met my real dad 3 years ago, and I haven't had the opportunity to meet him. And by the way, I have love and grace for anyone that struggles with any kind of sexual sin. I think the acts that God condemns the acts of homosexuality, not the person that's struggling.
Why didn't Jesus ever say anything about it?
He did in Romans.
He didn't.
Yes, he did.
No.
He said he turned men over. He turned from natural acts to unnatural acts, you know, which is acts of homosexuality.
No, Jesus never said anything.
Yes, it did.
Never said anything about homosexuality.
No. Okay. He was a little stumbly on that particular passage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's no way he could read it verbatim because it doesn't exist.
Jesus said a thing about a guy in the Romans, the thing that sounded like a gay thing. Okay. All right, let's do another.
Right-wing hypocrites!
Oh, my goodness. Do anti-choice conservatives like Eric Cantor and Newt Gingrich provide elective abortion coverage to their employees? Oh, dear, much like the RNC did. An analysis of disclosure forms of right-wing organizations and lawmakers reveals that many anti-choice conservative leaders may provide insurance plans with elective abortion to their employees. For instance, Newt Gingrich and his little, whatever his little 527 attack thing is, that he offers health coverage, which covers elective abortions unless the employer specifically opts out. House Minority Whip Representative Cantor also provides CareFirst Blue Cross Blue Shield coverage to campaign employees, which covers, so it would seem, much as the Republican National Committee offered the same kind of coverage until they were caught. And part two of
right-wing hypocrites.
What? The Republican National Committee health insurance provider promotes end-of-life counseling.
Oh, my God. Aren't those death panels?
Yes, you recall the death panels, one of the loudest shouts from the right wing over the summer. Chairman Michael Steele endorsed this type of rhetoric and on July 28th put out a research document claiming the government would dictate Americans' end-of-life care. What? Oh, no. Cigna. The RNC's health insurance provider also urges beneficiaries to think about end-of-life services. Cigna's website has a page called Care at the End of Life, which covers topics as such as how to talk to your loved ones about end-of-life choices and whether to stop life-prolonging treatment. Oh, dear.
That would be pulling the plug on Grandma.
I wonder if the RNC will call up Cigna and object. Just curious about that little dollop of hypocrisy. All right. Speaking of which, Republicans, shocked, I tell you, that the chicks are mad at them for voting against the anti-rape Franken Amendment. Last month, 30 Republican senators, as you know, voted against Senator Al Franken's amendment that would punish defense contractors if they restrict their employees from taking workplace sexual assault, battery, and discrimination cases to court. The GOP senators who sided with the defense contractors at the expense of women have been facing an intense backlash. Politico reports Republicans are now scratching their heads at why the public is so incensed about their no votes. See, that's the part that's funny. Not just that they voted no, but now they can't understand it. As someone blogged, seriously? They voted against an amendment that was prompted by the brutal gang rape of a young woman by her coworkers while she was working for a company under contract for the United States government, after which she was locked in a shipping container without food or water, threatened if she left to seek medical treatment, and then prevented from bringing criminal charges against her assailant, and they failed to anticipate the political consequences? Yeah, they could not see that coming. All right.
Wow. Al Franken is really smart. He did a brilliant political move there.
Mm-hmm. All right. So tomorrow we will get, after Mama's appearance about Sarah Palin tonight and Larry King, we will talk about the, as it turns out, the McCain camp, says Sarah Palin.
You're a lying sack of crap.
Yeah, she said it's all fiction, her little account. We'll talk about that tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.